Amen. What a blessing. I appreciate Brother Tim and Miss Corey for dedicating themselves on Wednesday night. Started this new Pastor Pirate Club here just recently. And as I said this morning, one Sunday night a month, we're going to allow these kids to come up and share with us what they're learning in this club. And so we appreciate their dedication and sacrifice. Let's just give them a round of applause for their service. We have plans to also include some of the younger kids maybe in January. So let's be praying about that, getting some workers for that. And it'll make such an impact in these kids' lives. And so it requires some commitment. But we're thankful that we have people willing to invest in our children. That's the next generation. And so it's great to have that in our church. And tonight we're going to be having another guest that's going to come and preach for us tonight. I introduced him this morning. He taught our Cornerstone adult class, and that's Brother James and Lucy Washburn. I want them to stand with their daughter Katie, and just so you can meet them tonight. And so we appreciate them coming. And Brother James, why don't you go ahead and come up, and I'll have Miss Lucy and them sit down. All right, let's give them a welcome. Before I have him preach to us, I just want to say, if you wasn't here this morning, Brother James was, and his family were members of our church in Dalhart years ago, Liberty Baptist Church. They came all the way from South Carolina to Dalhart, of all places.
Years ago, brother.
Yeah, it was years ago. And they were members of our church for probably 4 or 5 years, and I had opportunity to help him and train him some in the ministry, and led the church there to ordain him into the ministry. And the Lord's had him in several places serving, and now he's in Seminole starting a new church. And so I'm going to turn it over to him, let him share what God's put on his heart. Thank you, Brother Washington.
Appreciate you, brother. Amen. You too, brother. Well, Brother Winder's, like I said, he's the pastor that encouraged us to go into the ministry. He and, how many of you remember Brother Steve Ragland? Any of you know Steve Ragland? We're ringing here, fellas. And, you know, they encouraged me. My wife and I, we try to be faithful, just try to be faithful in the church. And then one day I remember he and Brother Ragland came to me and said, "You ever thought about being in the ministry?" And I thought, well, the thought had crossed my mind, but who am I? And so they kept encouraging us, and so we prayed about it, and the Lord moved us that way. And then we left there and went to Stratford and then to Spearman, and we've since got our Bible degrees from Louisiana Baptist University, and I'm still working on my last one through there. And wow, that was 15 years ago or so. And but this has always been my pastor. Whenever I had I've never had any other pastor I've ever called since I met him about things in my ministry or life. I would always call him and talk to him about it, and we just have a kindred spirit, amen, and I love him. And when the Lord led us to start this church here in Seminole, Texas, he was the first one I thought of, because I thought, well, I'm going to need a sponsor in church to help me with this. And he's the only one I thought of. There was nobody else I thought of. And so we met with your deacons this afternoon, and Lord willing, if the Lord leads that way, maybe you guys can be a little part of what we're doing there in Seminole. Seminole is the town itself is 6,000. The surrounding community is the community is about 1/5 Mennonite, and the surrounding community in the county and Seminole itself is about 17,000. And then we have Andrews, Texas, about 20 miles away. It's about 6,000. And then 15 miles up the road, where I have a job, is Seagraves, Texas, which is about 2,000. And in all of those towns, there is no King James Bible preaching church other than myself. And that's the whole county of Gaines County. There is one independent Baptist church in Andrews, but they don't use the King James Bible. And then there's Independent Baptist Church, I believe, in Denver City. But it is, I'm almost certain they don't use the King James Bible either. So we have folks drive up from Andrews to our little church start. And we have about 5 or 6 good families. And it's been a blessing, amen. And I just ask for you to pray for us. And maybe if we can make another visit sometime, brother, we'll do a power point for you and let you see a little bit more about it. But mainly, we just want you to pray for us and Lord, help us get that thing going. And that being said, if I were to ask your church to help sponsor us just a little, just help us get going, we're in pretty good shape already, actually, for a small church. We have a good little group. We have our own building we meet in. Of course, we want a new one, but the one we have now is sufficient. And things are going well. But if I were to ask your church to help us in any way possible, most importantly for you, you would probably want to know what I preach. And you want to know. You know, it's not enough that I'm Brother Johnny's friend, right? Or that he's my pastor. You want to know the type of message that I would preach. So I think the best thing I can do for you tonight is give you a little sample, if you will, of the type of message we'll preach when we're in Seminole, Texas. We've been there for 6 years now. We just left another church to start the church we're in, so we're familiar with the county and the town, and lots of folks are familiar with us, and that's our home, and that's where our church is going to be, and, you know, it's just been a blessing, and just pray for us. So if you have your Bible this evening, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. The Bible says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for this evening. Thank you for Bible Baptist Church. Thank you for Brother Widener and what he's done for our life and helping us be in the ministry. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for washing away our sins on a daily basis. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do for us. Lord, help us to ever be true to you. Help us to serve you. And now, Lord, as I try to preach, Lord, we have nothing to offer these fine folks outside of your word. We have no flattering oratory or anything of that nature. Lord, we have the word. And I pray, God, that you would bless tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, anyone here tonight in the sound of my voice that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord Jesus, that even now you would open their hearts, prick their hearts, open their minds. Lord, deal with them as we look into thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, the title of my message this evening is simple. It's the same old story. It's the same old story, amen. We're in 2016 and churches come and churches go and methods change and methods come and methods go. But, you know, it's always the same old story. The story never changes, see. There is no other way to be saved. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved, the Bible says. It's through the Lord Jesus. You know, I would not speak this evening if I thought I would waste your time. We're not here to encourage you to make yourself better. The Lord Jesus can make you better. We're not here to encourage you to plant seeds so that you can make more money and be more successful. If the Lord sees fit, that may happen in your life. But that's not what we're here to do. There's a reason that preachers preach. And that reason is to tell the old story, amen? That's why we preach. That's what lights our fire. That's what keeps us going when we look and we see people that need Christ as Savior. And we need to preach that message to those folks. I'm reminded of a story told by C.S. Spurgeon to his congregation in Newington, England. He said, "I suppose I am something like Mr. Cecil when he was a boy. His father once told him to wait in a gateway till he came back. And the father, being very busy, went about the city, and amidst his numerous cares and engagements, he forgot the boy. Night came on, and at last when the father reached home, there was great inquiry as to where Richard was. The father said, "Dear me, I left him in the morning standing under such and such a gateway, and I told him to stay there until I came for him. I should not wonder but what he is there now." So they went, and there they found him, standing under the gateway where his father told him to stand. Such an example of childish, simple faithfulness is no disgrace for the Christian to emulate. "I received some years ago orders from my master to stand at the foot of the cross until he came. He has not come yet, but I mean to stand there till he does." Amen? Folks can do what they want. Family can do what they want. But we need to stand at the foot of the cross, brother, where the Lord called us to, until he returns. If I should disobey his orders and leave those simple truths which have been the means of the conversion of souls, I know not how I could expect his blessings. If I were to leave the foot of the cross and go into some other avenue of religion or silliness, which religion takes on today. So here then, we stand at the foot of the cross and we tell out the old, old story. Stale, though it sounds to itching ears, and worn threadbare as critics may deem it. But it's of Christ that I love to speak. Of Christ who loved, who lived, who died, the substitute for sinners, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, if you're not saved here this evening, friend, listen. Jesus the just died for you the unjust. Because in Adam all men die, but in Christ all men shall live. It's the same old story, is it not? That's the message that I bring this evening, that Christ died for the sins of mankind, even while men were sinners. That God imposed upon the man Adam the right to live in a perfect habitation, a habitation that Adam did not have any knowledge or want of. God loved him so much, he gave him Eden to live in. Adam didn't know anything about Eden. He didn't even want Eden. He didn't know anything about Eden. But God, in his love for Adam, placed him in a perfect habitation to enjoy. You know, that's what God wants for us, you know. He wants us to have a perfect habitation to spend our eternity. And that place is called heaven. But there's a problem. But there's a problem because in Adam, all men die. You know, I was looking at these pretty little girls up here, especially that one in the little green dress there. She couldn't stand still. It tickled me to death. It's so cute, Ben, and that's what kids do, and we need to take it easy on them sometimes. They're just kids. So cute. But you know what? Those little babies like that, you know, those precious little children, Ben. But you know what? Even those precious little children, they're descendants of Adam. And in Adam, all men die. You know, eventually one day, every child comes to the point till they realize they're a sinner. Everyone knows they're a sinner. Does anyone think they're not a sinner? There's a point to where we realize we're sinners. And we die spiritually in Adam. We're already dead spiritually, but one day, the law revives and I die. All of a sudden, I figure out I'm a sinner. But in Christ, all men live, see? See, Jesus wants to give you life. But like the pastor said this morning, you know, the first thing we have to do is recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. That he is who he claimed to be. That he is the only way. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There's no other name. And if we haven't accepted Christ as our Savior this evening, I'm telling you, friend, you're still dead in Adam, you see. You see, you sin because you're a sinner. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. We're all born sinners, amen. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we sin. But my goodness, the great thing that Jesus did for us when he died on the cross, amen. And he put his hands out and he gave up the ghost and he said, "It's finished." Isn't that a great thing, amen, that I can look to Christ and say, "I accept you, Christ, as my Savior. I'm a great sinner. I admit it and I repent of my sin." And Jesus looks down and he says, "It's finished for you, son. Your sins are washed away." See, he'll do that for you here this evening, friend. You may be thinking, "Boy, you know, the church wants me to not do this, and the church wants me to not do this, and the church wants me to not do this." No, forget all that. Jesus wants to wash away your sins. And Ephesians 1 tells us, and then he seals us with the Holy Spirit of God, amen. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life and our heart, and all of a sudden, I don't need the church to tell me about sin anymore. The Holy Spirit, as I read the Word of God, convicts me of sin and shows me what I need to change. And the only Christian that doesn't happen to, brother, is a Christian that won't read their Bible. You see, that's God's plan, see, that we get saved, we get sealed, and we get sanctified. You understand? We get saved. We get sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then the third part, we put the Scriptures into the mix. Amen. And then we get sanctified and we get set apart and we start living for God according to the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Not because that old preacher. Amen. I've never understood a Christian that didn't want to live for Jesus. That's a strange thing to me. A Christian not wanting to live for Jesus. Oddity. Oddity. But anyway. Praise the Lord, amen. Listen. You know what God gave Adam? He put him in that garden. And then he gave him. I mean, this is ultimate love, folks. That God gave Adam a free will to either love me or not. We're talking about the God of all creation here, folks, that gave a mere human that he created the option to love him or not. He didn't have to do that. I mean, he could have made him a robot, right? And said, "You're going to love me, period. That's how it is." But no, you see, you like relationship, friend, because God likes relationship. That's the only reason we're relational creatures. Because God's relational. And God wants relationship with you. You understand? Like, I want relationship with my wife. Why do I want a relationship with my wife? Because I'm created in God's image. And God wants relationship with his creatures. But when Adam sinned, amen, and the Bible says, and they knew they were naked, what is that all about? It means for the first time they disobeyed God, and that feeling of uncleanness came over them, and they knew there was something not right. You understand? You know what I mean? That's why before you get saved, friend, if you haven't been saved here, that's why the preaching of God's Word just bears down on you, see. It's the Holy Spirit bearing down on you because you're made in God's image. But like Adam, you've been separated from God. And there's that thing that lets you know that there's just something not right. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? There's something not right here. But Jesus says, "I know. I want to make it right. I want to wash your sins away and take that burden off of your shoulders that you're trying to carry around." See, it's the same old story. It's the story that's been told since Genesis chapter 3. It's the same old story. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Goodness. And the strain of God's love was bent on that day that Adam denied God and followed his own way. I mean, the great love of God was bent that day when Eve listened to that old devil, who's a real personality, by the way, that the whole world will be celebrating here in about 20 days. Right? Or America will. But let me tell you something. He bent God's love. He broke God's heart. You understand? But I'm telling you, Genesis chapter 3 doesn't finish before God promised to fix it. I mean, the chapter doesn't even finish before God says, I'm going to fix it, amen. And He promised the Savior, see, right away. You know what that is? That's love, amen. That's not God waiting eons and generations and being angry and mad and frowning. No, right away, God's like, oh, this breaks my heart. I need to fix this. I need to fix this. And the Son says, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. And the plan was set, amen, for the time when the Lord Jesus would come and take care of our sins. But that day was the day that all men, you know, when Romans tells us that all have sinned and come fall short of the glory of God, that's where it happened, see. It's not what you do. It's what happened back there. That's why we fall short. Because in Adam all men die. See, my friend, if you're not saved, you're under the curse of Adam. You understand? You're carrying Adam's curse around with you. And it takes the blood of Jesus to wipe away that curse, see. That's what that sin nature that we have, it comes from Adam. And it takes Christ to give us the new nature and the Holy Spirit so that we can live for God and have relationship with Him that we couldn't have before we accept Christ. Does that make sense? So let me move on down here for sake of time here this morning, this evening. So now, sin now wrecks the world, does it not? Hatred, jealousy, strife. Its effects upon man culminates in iniquity and sin. You know, that's what sin does. It just culminates in an iniquity. I mean, we look around today and everywhere you look, you know, you see nothing but corrupt. The whole planet seems to be corrupt. You know what I mean? How come? Because of sin. It's because of sin. I have the answer. Hey, no one else. Science doesn't have the answer for sin, friend. They can deny Adam. They can deny creation. But you know what they can't do? They can't explain to me why this planet is wrecked with sin. Can't explain that one. I can. It's right there in Genesis chapter 3. It's the sin curse placed upon the planet. Amen? Sure. You ever asked yourself this question? How come I don't have the propensity to do right all the time? I do. No, you don't. Stop that. How come you don't have the propensity to do right all the time? How come we just have that natural inclination to do things, if not totally wrong, just probably not right? How come? How come it's just always there? It's always there. Because it's from Adam, see. I have the answer. So few will listen. But I have the answer. Amen? You Christians in here, you have the answer. But you got to tell somebody before they can listen. You got to give them the story, huh? The old, old story. The penalty of sin separates men from his Creator and sentences man to an eternity of everlasting torment. In Luke 16:23, it says, the rich man, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural. Not torment, torments. I don't know what all those torments are, but the Bible says he was in hell in torments, you see. What's that all about? Because his soul was still corrupted with sin. And all that's corrupted with sin has to be put away from God. That's the message. That's the one folks don't want to hear today. That's the one young people hate today. But the problem is, sin is real. And it's upon our soul. And sin will not inherit heaven. Can't do it. It's the old, old story, brother. It never changes. Although maybe we would like for it to. But it doesn't. Hey, that's a dire message right there, amen. If those that haven't accepted Christ, amen, the Bible says, are cast after they've dying, go to hell, and then at the great white judgment, the Bible says they're cast into a lake of fire. My goodness. See, sin will be punished. The Bible tells me so. That's a dire message, is that not? That's a dire message. But we can thank God for the old story. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Amen? Friend, if you're not saved this evening, not being mean to you, I was in the same spot. Any person in here that's saved was in the same spot at some point in their life, amen. They were unjust and separated from God by Adam's inheritance. That has to be taken care of to go to heaven. That's what it's all about. Like he said this morning, it's not about personal reformation. I'm going to quit smoking, drinking, cussing, chasing women, and I'm going to go to heaven. No, you're not. No, you're not. You'll find something else to do. I mean, did you know something? I don't want to go too long here, brother. I'm watching myself. Did you know something? We make categories of sin, not God. We're the ones that decide drinking's worse than anything. Smoking's worse than anything. Drugs worse than anything. Well, I don't know. I don't know that. I know God hates pride worse than anything. That's an inward deal. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this thing about we all got pride. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you're going to reform yourself, you got a mighty task, friend. Because the only thing you're going to reform are those boxes that we as humans have decided to check that are real sins. But what about those inward sins? You know, kind of like when they were getting after that woman that committed adultery, and Jesus said, oh, no. He that's lusted in his heart is the one that committed adultery. Jesus said, I ain't so much worried about the outside, because the outside is just a product of the inside. You know what I mean? And, you know, we're just not going to be able to reform yourself to God's glory. Now think about that one for a minute. I'm going to quit all this stuff to where I no longer fall short of God's glory. Really? Seriously? Think about that statement a minute. I'm going to reform myself enough, brother, to where one day I get rid of enough junk out of my life that all of a sudden I'm not short of God's glory. I'm equal with God. Now you better watch that business. Because that's a futile task. But you know what? But you can accept. You have a cross in your brother somewhere? Yeah. Hey, you can accept Christ's payment for your sin. And that's all you got to do. That's it. And the Holy Spirit take care of the rest if you're sincere. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe if somebody gets saved, they get saved, don't you? I believe that. So if somebody really gets saved, amen, and they really love the Lord, and they really are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and they're really reading their Bible, and they're really praying, God will make changes in their life. He will. I don't believe otherwise. Don't believe otherwise. Let's look here. I got to finish up. Christ died so that the unjust could claim justification, therefore being justified by faith. So how do we become justified? Somebody repeat that. Being justified by? Faith. Being justified by? Faith. No, works. Works, right? Justified by works? Or justified by what? Faith. You got to get that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, the Bible says. I mean, so, if the Bible says, brother, that I can't be saved by works of righteousness that I've done, what can I do? I'm sunk. I've been trying to be better, and I'll run across this verse, brother, and I'm sunk. What do I do? I mean, man, I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit doing all that, and then I run across this verse. I'm still sunk. Yeah. You know why? Because God wants glory for your salvation. He don't want you to get glory out of your salvation. He wants the glory for your salvation. Amen? God's a jealous God. He said, I'll not give my glory to anyone else. So if I can work my way to heaven, I got a little part to do with that, see? But if it's all on the Lord Jesus, then the God, the Holy Trinity, gets all the glory, does he not? Does that make sense? It's an old story. Goodness. Therefore, being justified by faith. Here's what the world's hunting. We have peace. You got peace, friend, this evening? You got peace in your life? Are you always in turmoil? Always something going on? Huh? Through the Lord Jesus, you don't have to have that. That's an amazing thing that they sang this song up here tonight, is it not? Because my Bible lesson this morning was on Genesis 6. That was amazing to me. I was sitting there, I'm like, see how God just puts things together? I mean, I picked that message out last week to teach up here. And these kids hop up here preaching about Noah, the very thing we taught on this morning. Isn't that craziness? That's craziness. And Noah found what? In the eyes of the Lord. Friend, that's where peace comes from. Grace, see, knowing I ain't got to work for nothing. You understand? Well, you're saying a person just live like they want. I don't know a Christian worth their salt that wants to live like they want. I don't understand that mentality, brother. You're saying a guy can get saved and he's got eternal security and he can just do what he wants. No, I'm not an antinomian. I don't believe that. I believe Christians love the Lord. And a real Christian gets saved. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they do what? Oh, yeah. That's what our Savior said, brother. He said, they hear my voice. Well, how do we hear God's voice today? I go out and sit under a peach tree, and God speaks to me. No, He don't. I have these dreams, and God, no, He doesn't. No. You can't put any stock in a dream you had. Really? That could be a pizza you ate last night. Who knows? How do you hear God's voice? Right there. Huh? In the beginning was the Word. Yeah? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So if I'm going to have a conversation with the Lord Jesus, I'm going to read His Word. Amen? And you know how God's going to respond to me? Through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read the Word, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me. Read the Word. And the Holy Spirit said, He will bear witness to Jesus, to the Word. See how that thing works? That's how it works. That's the only way it works. Anything else is subject, is it not? I mean, you know, I could come up with any scheme. But as long, if I stick to the book, I'm not going to come up with a scheme. I'm going to come up with what God said. Right? Sure. So, we have peace with God. How? Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want peace this evening, friend, it's going to be through the Lord Jesus. That bottle ain't going to do it. Your goodness ain't going to do it. Your wit, your smarts, your education, all that stuff. Some of that's good things, but it's not going to give you peace. You know? Hey. So that the inheritance of corruption inherited from Adam could be replaced with an inheritance in heaven, the Bible says, that fadeth not away. See, that's the one I want. The Bible tells us here in 1 Peter 1 that after we're saved unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. See? So, you know, you can trade this corrupt inheritance in this evening. You can trade it in for that uncorruptible inheritance in heaven, see? Make the trade. That's what the Bible says, you see? The Bible says that whosoever admits his or her sinful state before God and accepts the death and shed blood of Christ as an atonement for their sin will be saved. The Bible says, repent ye therefore, and be converted. Acts 3:19, that your sins be blotted out. Lord Jesus, I want my sins blotted out. Then Jesus says, repent ye therefore, admit you're a sinner, and repent of it. Admit it and tell me you're sorry for it and that you want to be saved. And let me tell you something about this 1, 2, 3, say this prayer and you're saved just like me, junk. You don't know a person's heart. I mean, we've knocked on doors, brother, and supposedly led somebody to the Lord the next week. Maybe they're hiding behind the fence. That ain't salvation to me. That's somebody trying to get rid of me. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to be careful with that thing. But the Lord Jesus knows whose prayer is true. Hey, and that fruit, and that thing bears fruit because those people, they're going to end up in church. Am I telling the truth? They're going to end up serving the Lord. You know, Jesus said you'll know them by their what? By their fruits, you see. So, how do you know, preacher, if a guy's repentance is true? I have no idea. I don't know. How do you know this guy got... Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe it. If this guy tells me he got saved, I would never tell him he didn't get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. But I'm just a human being, and I don't really know. That makes sense? I don't really know. But I know the Bible says, repent and be converted. Right? Not be scared and be converted. Not want a free ticket to heaven and be converted. No. Repent. In other words, come to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm an inherited sinner. I've inherited it from Adam. I realize what I am. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. That's what he wants to hear. And I'm sorry, and I want to live for you. Right? Repent. Be converted. And your sins shall be blotted out, the Bible says. Yes. Good stuff. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, my favorite verse in the Bible, shall be saved, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's coming a day when the whole world, friend, will be judged by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. What does that wordy scripture mean? It means that one day your eternal destiny will be judged upon how you treated the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you accept Christ or did you turn him away? That's the judgment. Hey, and Jesus is going to be the one doing it. You're not going to snowball him. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to know. Is he going to say, yeah, hey, enter in thou good and faithful servant, not to take it out of context, enter in thou good and faithful servant, or is he going to say, I don't know you, but Lord, Lord, you understand what I'm saying? We need to forget all the work stuff. Too many times we put the cart before the horse. We need to accept Christ as our Savior first, right? Then pray and read our Bible and let God develop a Christian life for us, see? Does that make sense? But too many times, you know, I'm gonna quit smoking. If I can quit smoking, I come to church. That's putting the cart before the horse. you're just going to go broke buying that gum stuff they chew or whatever. Or you'll start smoking that smokeless junk. That's so ridiculous looking. Some guy smoking a cigarette with no smoke. You know what I mean? Vape. What do they call it? Vape? I don't know what they call it. It's just ridiculous to me. I'm like, just go and have a cigarette, dude. Good grief. That's ridiculous. You know how silly you look? Just here. Have them. No, I'm just kidding. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, for God sent not his Son into the condemned the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Well, you preachers, you just condemn everybody. No, we don't condemn anybody. They condemn themselves. Because Jesus did what he had to do for people to be saved. We don't condemn anybody. We're offering, hey, it's simple. Admit you're a sinner, accept Christ as your Savior, and you can go to heaven and have a good life while you're here. Well, who wants that? I'd rather be miserable and be divorced 15 times and be drunk half the time. I mean, wow, I don't want no peaceful life. What in the world would I want that for? That's how it is. That sounds funny, but that seems to be how it is. I'd rather just be miserable. You old Christians, well, Christians are the finest people on the planet I've ever met. Because I've run some pretty rough cats before I got saved, amen. Some of you guys, kids in here, young people, you want to delve out into the world a little bit? You might want to be careful where you want to delve. Because you might run up on some folks that you didn't realize was out there. And some of them ain't so forgiving. And they'll get you into a mess. And then when the blue lights show up, guess where they're at? Pyong. Gone. And there you stand. Oh, my good friends. They're not your friends. You better not buy that baloney. They'll leave it in your lap in a minute. I got some stories I could tell, but I don't have time. Anyway, so I'm finishing up here. All right. So the question we Christians should ask ourselves is this. Are we tired of telling people the old, old story? Have we really, as a Christian people in America, do we really think we've come up with the means to really draw people to Christ? And draw all these massive numbers of people in, you know, and all this stuff. But how come, hey, if this is true, friends, how come the church has no power in local elections anymore? Zip. When we have mega churches around our country, and I know a town that it thinks it's so religious, it's not even funny they think they're so holy and religious. And did you know what? They got a church on every corner, brother. And did you know what? They could not even keep liquor out of their convenience stores at the last election. I mean, the church has no power anymore. You know what I'm saying? Where's the power? We don't have any power anymore. I think it's a direct result of watering down the old, old story. Of telling people, you must be born again. Cleaning up, doing better with yourself? No, you must be born again. That's the only thing that works. Get saved and live for the Lord Jesus, see. Our power is gone. Hey, are we tired of telling people the old, old story? Or does it still light a fire in our heart? When we think back to that day we got saved. How many of you can remember the day you got saved? I got saved in Marine Corps boot camp, 1979, second floor, Marine Corps barracks. I was in MRP platoon, about to get kicked out of a boot camp because I was a fool. And let me tell you, the fellow that led me to the Lord was an Indian from Arizona, and he went to the Nazarene Church, and I remember his face like yesterday. And that was 30-some-odd years ago, brother, and I remember it like I took a snapshot of it yesterday. Yes, changed my life, people. Brother, it changed my life. I'll never forget it. You know, what did he tell me? The old, old story. Simple. You're a sinner. Yeah, I know that. Do you want to go to hell? I don't want to go to hell. Are you willing to repent of your sin? Yeah. Yeah. Will you pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart to save you and mean it? Yeah, if I do it, I'm going to mean it. I ain't going to do it if I don't mean it. And I did. And here I am today, brother. Man, and God's given me a life that I couldn't even imagine having. Back at that time in life, at 17, I couldn't even imagine the life that God's allowed me to have to this point. I shudder to think what kind of life it would have been, brother, if I had not have got saved that night. I shudder to think. Who knows where I'd be? So, we don't need to let that fire go out, amen. Never. That's what keeps us preachers going. I guarantee you that's what keeps the preacher going. That Jesus saved him, amen. I guarantee you this is his delight right here. Am I telling the truth? Preacher White, is this your delight right here? There's nothing else. Nothing else. There's nothing else. This is it. This is it. You know, we can't let that fire go out. We got to tell people. Maybe we need to spend some time at the altar. reflecting on what God's done for us? Are we still taking the old story to that world in need of a Savior? Secondly, finishing up right now, are you familiar with the old story? I would imagine in this church, if you've been coming here a while, you're familiar with the old story. Because it's a Bible-believing church, I'm sure. Hey, thirdly, have you accepted that story as your own? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's the old story, but it's still the way to get saved, amen. That's the message that we preach in Seminole, Texas, brother. And that's the message we'll preach there until the day I'm gone. Brother, come on up, amen. How about you this evening? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Turn service over to Brother Widener.
Everybody, if you please stand, and we're going to open an invitation tonight. We heard the greatest message of all, the old story. And if you have not ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, I can't.